listen to it when it gets put online. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank you. God is good. God is good. And all the time. If there are any kids left in the building that want to go up to nursery or want to go up to class, by all means, rock and roll. We're going to have a good classes today. Amen. I just want to make some announcements that were not made before. Tonight is the fourth Sunday of the month, so that means tonight we have Spirit Fire Worship here, 6 o'clock tonight. And so if you can make it this evening, 6 p.m., we have this awesome time of worship and prayer, and it'll be at 6 o'clock tonight here. So be there. Also, reminder that we have Wednesday night classes, 6:30, and then prayer times, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 10 in the morning. So if you can be there, it's great. Also, if you're looking for a time to, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, it's 7 o'clock and, you know, I have nothing to do until 10 o'clock church. On Sunday mornings, we have pre-service prayer at 9:15. And so if you are up and at them, ready to go, we have pre-service prayer open to anybody at 9:15 in the morning. So just put that out there for you, all right? Praise God. God is good. Amen. Anybody got their Bibles today? The Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It's like a two-edged sword. Cuts through bone and marrow. It shows us the promises of God, and it gives us the things that we need to sustain our life. And before we go, I want to pray, and I'm going to ask us all to stand and pray together as one. So if you just close your eyes and bow your head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, which we've given to you already. Father, I give you this time of this service where your word is going to be brought, Father God. That's your word by the Holy Spirit leading. We've spoken to the people to go deep into their hearts, to change us from the inside into the characteristic of you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have. And we know, Father, that you are good, and we glorify you for all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to take you on a journey, and I want to explain something to you. I want to talk about something that we all have in common. And so we're going to start very simply by going to a foundational scripture today, which is going to be in 1 Corinthians. So when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to say, amen. And if you don't have a book Bible, but you have an iPhone or an iPad, that's okay too, because the Bible's on there. You just get there faster sometimes, depending on your service. Right? Amen. Is everybody awake today? Is everybody awake today? No? Well, get awake. All right? If you need energy, you need some oxygen, just take a deep breath. There you go. Now you're awake. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to go on. Verse 9 says this. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've heard that plenty of times. How many of us have heard that before? No eye has seen, no ear has heard. But I want to read verse 10, because I think this is an eye-opener. Verse 10 says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searched out everything and shows us God's deepest secrets. So yeah, no eye has seen, no ear has heard before. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Now God shows us and reveals all these things by his Spirit. Amen? So I want to talk about this thing called the Spirit a little bit. Let's turn back in our book to Genesis chapter 1. And when you get to Genesis chapter 1, say hallelujah. You can say it like that. It's cool. I get excited about reading the Word. I don't know about you guys, but the Word is amazing to me. And, you know, if we can't get excited about talking about the Word at church, then what can we get excited about? You know, the Word is what it is. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. It's God. It's living. It's life. And if we can't get excited about life, what can we get excited about? Amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And we read then in the next verses, then God said, so then the Spirit of God said, so then God said, which is the Spirit of God that was hovering over the earth, saw that it was formless and whatnot, created the heavens and the earth, saw the waters, and the Spirit of God said, let there be. And we can read all through that. And let there be created a whole bunch of different things. So let there be from the Spirit of God said, let there be. We're going to continue in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 41. So if we keep in mind as we're going across the scriptures, the first verse that we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit of God was put inside of us. So the Spirit of God that hovered over the earth, that created all things, is inside of us. And that's awesome. So Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 41, excuse me, verse 38 and 39. Amen, we there? Verse 38 says, so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. So what happened? The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that hovered over the waters, the same Spirit of God that God put into you, God put into and created the ability to interpret the dreams, which then gave favor. So since Joseph was filled by the Spirit of God, filled by the same Spirit that hovered over the earth, filled by the same Spirit that fills us, he was able then to interpret dreams. That means, that makes very clear the promise in 1 Corinthians that we just read that says the Spirit of God is put inside of us that will reveal all things. The same Spirit of God was put into you that helped Joseph reveal those things to Pharaoh. Amen? The Spirit of God allowed the deeper things of God to be spoken to Joseph. And that same Spirit is the Spirit that hovered over the earth, is the same Spirit that created, let there be, that created, let there be, the same Spirit. Let's turn to Numbers. We're just going to go through the Old Testament a little bit here. There's some scriptures, but scripture is good, amen? Numbers chapter 27. And I'm going through these scriptures so that we can get a picture of what we're talking about, amen? Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Say amen when you get there. It says, the Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. So Joshua, son of Nun, has the Spirit in him. I want you to get a picture of that. Joshua, son of Nun, has the Spirit in him. In him. And if we read on or we know anything about Joshua, he went on to lead. He went on to lead. He was commissioned by the Spirit of God, laid hands by the other leaders to commission him to lead the people. And there's going to be a point that we're going to make here about the Holy Spirit after we get through all of this. So Joshua was anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit to lead people. Amen. Judges. Judges 13. Say amen when you get there. Some of you might have read this before. Judges 13 talks about the great man. His name is Samson, right? I'm going to put a plug. I like how they portrayed him in the Bible series. Big guy, you know, strong guy. Judges chapter 13, we're going to go verse 24. Verse 24 says, when her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And 25 says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him, or stir him, while he lived in Mahanadan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol. So where's the Spirit? It began to stir him. Therefore, the Spirit had to be inside of him. Same Spirit that hovered the earth, same Spirit that was in Joshua, same Spirit that was creating the earth, same Spirit in Samson. And we all know the story of Samson. The Spirit of God was inside him and made him a mighty man, a warrior. What do warriors do? They fight for causes. Samson had the Holy Spirit inside of him, preparing him, stirring, creating in him the strength that he needed to do what he was going to do. Yes? Amen? Stay in 1 Samuel and go to, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're taking a journey through the Old Testament talking about the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that hovered over the earth, created all things, let there be. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6 says here. It says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. This is talking about, if you go back and you have Samuel anoints Saul as king. So the Holy Spirit is going to come into Saul And then, as he's king, the Holy Spirit is going to lead him in doing the things that he has to be doing as king. Leading, doing something. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. It says, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David to live inside of David from that day forward. From that day on. Why did the Holy Spirit come and come inside David and stay with him forever? Because David is anointed to be king so that he can have the Holy Spirit, the power of God, inside of him in order to lead the people. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, right? However you want to word it, same. Let's go to Psalm. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 30. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. But we're going to see something in other translations that can be here. It says, verse 30, when you give them your breath. In some translations, it says, when you give them your spirit. What spirit are we talking about? The Holy Spirit. So when you, talking to God, when you give them your breath or when you give them your spirit, life is created. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit hovered the earth and saw that it was covered with water and needed some stuff. So the Holy Spirit said, let there be. Now, if you read on, God breathed life or the spirit of him into Adam. So it says here, when you give them your breath or your spirit, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. So the Holy Spirit allows for renewal. We're gonna see that as we go on. So when God gives breath, he sends the spirit, his spirit, inside of man. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2 when it talks about Adam. The Holy Spirit inside of man creating life. If we go to Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, say amen when you get to Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Say amen. I'm going to start in 46. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar threw himself down before Daniel and worshiped him, and he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. And 47 says, the king said to Daniel, truly your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of the mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. So the Lord that David served, our Lord, the same Lord, put the spirit of the Lord into Daniel to reveal the secrets to King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, the Holy Spirit then led Daniel to reveal mysteries. 48 says then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel the ruler over the whole province of Babylon and as well as chief over his wise men. The Holy Spirit filled Daniel and allowed Daniel to know the secrets. And then the secrets were out of Daniel, revealed to the king. And then the king worshiped our Lord. So the Holy Spirit inside of Daniel allowed for a testimony to be said about something about King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, oh my gosh, how did you know that? Or oh my gosh, what is this about? I love your Lord. He's telling me these secrets. The Holy Spirit is allowing Daniel to give testimony and reveal secrets. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 9, if we read the beginning of chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, and it says here, verse 9, I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. So King Nebuchadnezzar realized and saw that the Holy Spirit was in Daniel. And he recognized that our God is the only God. That's a big thing if we know the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. But the Holy Spirit living inside gave the ability to Daniel to reveal the secrets to Nebuchadnezzar and allow Nebuchadnezzar to see the greatness and the fullness of God. That's the testimony. That's the testimony. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians. As you do that, as we read the Bible, we come to a conclusion. If you read the Word, you can come to a conclusion as you're going to 1 Corinthians that God sends His Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, just as we have the Holy Spirit today, to act upon man to create something, to act upon us in order for us to do something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Let me get there. You guys are all good. You're there before I am. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Verse 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Verse 12 says this then, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, and we have received God's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. This is the same Spirit that hovered over the earth. This is the same Spirit that let there be light. This is the same Spirit that breathed life and breathed spirit into Adam. This is the same Spirit that anointed Joshua. This is the same Spirit that anointed Saul. Same Spirit that anointed David. And where is that Spirit today? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the same Spirit that was inside of men back then is the same Spirit that's inside of us today. That makes me happy, and that should make us all happy. Why? Because the same Spirit that created life is the same Spirit that's in us today. Hallelujah! Amen! It's no longer Holy Spirit, yes, thank you. It should be, Holy Spirit, you're inside of me so that I can do great things, just as these people in the Old Testament was inside and did great things by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God in you, working through you. It's not boasting about me. It's not boasting about us human beings. It's boasting in the knowledge that we have the same power of the Holy Spirit that was back in the day, that part of the Red Sea, that we have now. We have now. The Holy Spirit is the same because God is the same. Let's turn to John. Some people might be asking, well, okay, the Holy Spirit, what is this Holy Spirit? Well, let's talk about what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is what some people say is the inward voice on the inside of you. That small, sweet voice on the inside that talks to you, that leads you, that inner voice. Let's turn to John chapter 14. What is this thing, the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14, verse 26 says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Teacher, the Helper, right? When we're in school, in our younger years, we're in school, we have somebody called a teacher. And if they're a decent teacher, they're also a helper. They're also a counselor. They're also an advocate for you. They know you, right? They know who you are as a student. The teachers teach us things. They help us know how to do something. They help us learn how to act. They help us learn the processes of life, whether it's math, English, whatever. They help us. So verse 26, but when the Father sends the Holy Spirit, or the Advocate, or the Teacher, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. Now this is where I think we can make a connection. He says then, He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. That's verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, and He will not speak on His own. That means that He's only speaking what He hears the Father speak. He's only telling you what comes from the Father. So He's teaching you, He's speaking to us, teaching, counseling, revealing things to you that only come from the Father. When the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth, and all truth from the Father. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And if we read those accounts that we talked about, David, Saul, the only things that the Spirit told them were the things from God that only God could know. And those men of God, those people who were following the Holy Spirit, spoke those and revealed those to human men so that something could be done here in the physical. We have the same Spirit on the inside of us that only tells us the things from God to help us, just as He did in the old days, to do things in the physical, to counsel people in the physical, to teach people about how to live life in the physical. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, teaching you right from wrong, good from evil, the basics, and also the deeper things of God. Jesus told His disciples, when I ascend, the Counselor will come. I'm paraphrasing, or I'm taking the gist, but He says that you want me to go. You need me to go up there so that I can send you the Counselor. I can send you the Spirit that will allow you to live life, that will show you the deeper things of God in this life, to allow you, just as the Holy Spirit did back in the day, to provide testimony or a witness about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. The disciples, they believed. They believed in Jesus. They believed that Jesus was Lord. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. Those who believe in Jesus, that declare His name righteous and holy, those are the people that are open to allow the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to come inside of them and live. The disciples knew that when Jesus went, the Holy Spirit was going to come in them to create a way for them, a path, a way of knowing the will of the Father for the future. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus told them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, that's the Trinity. No one comes to the Father except going through Jesus Christ. So we have to accept Jesus Christ and believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Messiah. And no one who does not do that is going to see the Father. So we have to accept and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that's the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth then will fill us, and we will then be connected to the Father. Amen? The Holy Spirit. From now on, it says then in the end of verse 6, from now on, or verse 7, from now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. For those of us who've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Messiah, are now connected to God. And when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, that is now the connection between God speaking to you and you doing the will of the Father on the earth. You see, we were sent here with a purpose. And the Word says, for I have a purpose for you, and it's for good, to prosper, not for evil. So God sent you here. So God has you here for a purpose. But how do we know that purpose? That's the question that we all ask. God, what am I supposed to be doing? What do I do in my life? What do I do here? Should I date this person? Should I not date this person? What am I doing? Should I go to school? Should I not go to school? Right? We've all been there, and we're all there. Every day is a new choice, a new option for us. God knows the secret things. God knows and has a plan. He already had a plan for you while you were in your mother's womb. So then how do we know what our plan is? Those are some secret, deep things that God has for you. But in order to be revealed those things, we have to be connected with the Father. Otherwise, we're just going about this life all on our own. And all on our own gets us to trouble. I've been there. Some of us have been there. Life on our own gets us in trouble. Trying to do things on our own gets us in trouble. It doesn't always have to be bad trouble like jail or whatever. But those little things, relational things, when we're not led by the Spirit and not connected to God, we get in trouble. We try to do things on our own. The Holy Spirit was given so that it can produce in us the character of God. Produce in us the character of God in the life of a believer. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The truth is that we cannot produce godly character without a connection to God. I'm talking about godly character. I'm not talking about just doing a good deed. I'm not talking about smiling at somebody. I'm talking about godly character, the standard that God had given us to live. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25 lays it out for us plainly. It says, the truth cannot, this doesn't say that, but we're not there. The truth is that we cannot produce a godly character without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help teach us. The Holy Spirit will help build us. What are those traits? What are they? What is that godly character? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, it doesn't say these kinds of fruits. So I don't think we're talking about pulling them separately and saying, oh, I was good today, yes, but you were not kind or you were not gentle or did not have self-control. I think that's why it's put that way. It's the fruit. It has to be all together. That's the godly character. And that's where I think we need to have that connection with the Holy Spirit so that we can live the fruit and not the fruits. What are the fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is singular, so they are all encompassed in one. So godly character is the outward expression of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and so forth. Self-control, faithfulness. These are all, I looked them all up because I needed to know. They're all action, what they call action nouns, right? Or they can be called action nouns or verbal nouns in the English. How do we say grammar? How do we say? So that means that they all pertain to an outward expression. So, light bulb went off in my head. In order for us to, if we have godly character on the inside, then how does somebody know that I'm a Christian? How does somebody know that I have this on the inside of me? If these terms are all action terms, then that means I have to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, all of these things. In verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their own sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. That means those who belong to Jesus Christ have taken all of their sinful desires and put them on the cross with Jesus. That means then, since we are living by the Spirit and the Holy Spirit fills us, then we must follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Verse 26, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. All speaking the same things. We have to live out in action the Holy Spirit. And if we tie that to the beginning of what we were talking about, Genesis, Numbers, Psalms, 1 Samuel, Judges, the Holy Spirit filled these people so that they could outwardly act and outwardly show the character of God. The Holy Spirit will provide you the strength to live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will provide you the strength to live by the Holy Spirit. If you don't connect with the Holy Spirit will not be able to provide strength for you to live by the Holy Spirit. We've lost that connection. We've lost that vital lifeline. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about what the Spirit does on the inside. When the Spirit comes on the inside, just as it did with Saul, it changes them into a different person. Saul was still the same on the outside, skin, hair, whatever. But since the Holy Spirit goes to the inside, it changes the person on the inside. It changes who you are on the inside. Because where does the Holy Spirit live? On the inside. Verse 1 in chapter 12 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that will be found acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2 says, now then don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. If we allow God to change us, and we truly believe that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then when we allow God to change us, we allow the Holy Spirit to come on the inside and flush all of the old man out, or old woman out, and we are now created anew, a different person, with a new mind and a new way of thinking, the mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of the Holy Spirit. If we read on in chapter 12, once we are transformed, once we allow God to transform us into a new person, he says then you will learn to know God's will for you. But until then, we don't know. Until then, we're flown back and forth by the wind, doing our own thing, because we don't know what God has for you, because we're not connected and not changed to be connected with the Holy Spirit and to God. If we keep reading on in Romans chapter 12, if we go to, if we just read on this chapter, let's go chapter 12, verse 3, it says, because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think of yourself better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. So it's telling us, once we're changed, once we're different, once we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, yes, we have the power of God living inside of us, but don't think of ourselves better than we really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So what we're talking about is this. The gift of God, once we transform our lives, the Holy Spirit has a gift, has gifts for us. The things that, the will of God for our life, the plan of God for our life, the action for our life. It said if you are given the gift of prophecy, then speak it out with as much faith. That means if you're given a gift, use it. Do it. If you're given the gift of prophecy, speak it out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, then give. If God has given you leadership, then take the responsibility seriously and lead people. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That means that God has given you something, but he's given you something so that you use it, so that you do it. Not to say, God, I know you've given me these gifts, thank you, and go about our day living the way that we want to live. Prophets, encouragers, givers, leaders, servers, teachers. And we're not just talking about school teachers. We're talking about people who teach other people. So if somebody teaches you about how to do something, they're a teacher. Does that make sense? We're not just talking about school teachers. We're talking about teachers in general, people who teach. These are gifts that are meant to do. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have a heading in my Bible that says spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts mean they come from the Spirit. And what Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. Right? The Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has gifts. Well, I want to know what kind of gifts there are. That means that he's given us things that we need to use. We need to live. We need to be those things. So we'll start with verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 11. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. So verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. The Holy Spirit is given on the inside and gives us gifts so that we can help each other. Not just help myself, to help each other. To help each other, not just help myself. Verse 8 says, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Sometimes in our lives, we need advice from somebody else. And not just advice that makes us smile, but advice that says, you're doing something wrong. Wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Special knowledge may be something that you need to hear about something in your life. Verse 9, the same Spirit gives us great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. So if we take that, great faith, what's the definition of faith? We used to have it right there. But what is faith? Faith is relying on God and not what we see. Faith is relying on those things that are unseen, but so that we can do the things that are seen. So to one is special faith. To another, gifts of healing. If the gifts that the Spirit gives are only for ourselves, then we should have the most faith ever, then we should be the most healthiest people ever. But these gifts are given to us so that we can help other people. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives another the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak unknown languages, while another person is given the ability to interpret what is being said in those unknown languages. But it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have at that particular time. That's the same Spirit that hovered over the earth, the same Spirit that anointed Joshua, the same Spirit that anointed Saul, the same Spirit that spoke to Elijah, the same Spirit that allowed the faith of that widow woman to provide what she had, the same Spirit that provides the miracles that we see, the healings that we see, the same Spirit that lives then and did all of those things then, lives now inside of each one of us for the ability for us to help each other. The same Spirit. The same Spirit that does all of those things, that did all those things that we think, oh my gosh, God is so good. Yes, yes, yes. The same Spirit lives now inside of each one of us, me and you, to do those good things. James 1:22, turn there. James 1:22, the word of the Lord says in James 1, chapter 22, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Spirit of the Holy God was put inside of us to reveal the secrets, to give us certain gifts and certain abilities so that we can be ye doers of the word and not hearers. For if we are just hearers, then we deceive ourselves. So if we just take the word in and don't do, we are deceiving ourselves of being followers of the one and true God. The word tells us, be ye doers. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we can do the spiritual things that he said. If we do not do and are just hearers, then we deceive ourselves. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Spirit of God was given to us. The same Spirit that did all those things in the Old Testament, the same Spirit that Jesus talked about in the New Testament, that Paul talks about in the New Testament about healings, the same Spirit that Jesus went up to the mountaintops to pray to get the anointing, the connection with the Father, the same Spirit that allowed him to heal all those people, the same Spirit that allowed Jesus to just say, you know what, go home and your son is okay, you don't have to bring him here, I don't have to go there, the same Spirit that did all those things lives inside of you. We just have to tap into it. We just have to live in that moment. We just have to live in the now and live and understand that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. It's inside of me. It's inside of us to do what? To do the Word. To live the Word. To be the Word. To show the Word. Not just to hold it. In Sunday school, when I was a kid, I used to sing the candle with the candles. I don't even know how it goes, but this little light of mine, yeah. Yeah, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel? No. Keep it for myself? No. I'm going to let it shine. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. We have to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. We're going to let it shine. Be ye doers of the word. Let people see. So many times you talk to some people and they're like, I didn't even know they were a Christian. That might be not such a good thing. Because if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, in order to have these gifts to do things, then they should know with all that you do that you are a believer of Christ. The way that you talk, the way that you act, the way that we help people all the time, people should know. And if they don't, we may be lacking in the fruit. Be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving only yourselves. I think, I believe that I've come to a realization, and I think you need to come to a realization that on the inside of you, if you have truly confessed that Jesus is your Lord and have accepted the Holy Spirit into your body, then that you have that Holy Spirit inside of you. I think you have to come to that realization to say, hey, that's true. That's true. That's the truth. It's inside of me. No longer should I be the same person. No longer should I be cursing. No longer should I be doing all these other things that made me unholy. But I have now the Holy Spirit on the inside of me to become a different person, a changed person. And why do I have it on the inside of me? So that I can show other people testimony of Jesus Christ, a witness of the Holy Spirit, to tell them, hey, this is real, this is true. Look at my life and how I was changed. You can have the same thing too. The primary role of the Holy Spirit coming down is so that it allows us to give witness. To give witness to what? Well, Jesus Christ had to go up and the Holy Spirit had to come down. So we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to give testimony that Jesus Christ is real. And that the power of the living God is real. Well, how do I know that? By what we do. Don't you see? Don't you see that it is by what we do? Faith without works is dead. Our faith in God without doing something is dead. Our faith in God in healing somebody is dead if we truly do not pray for this person. Our faith in God about the miracle of salvation is truly dead unless we share the message of salvation. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside. If we are acting like the old person in aspects of our life, then we truly did not get the understanding of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit said it changes you to a different person. I can bear witness to that. And anywhere I go, I will bear witness. I used to drink, smoke, drugs, sex, whatever. When I became saved and got the Holy Spirit inside of me, I became a new person. No longer wanting alcohol, drugs, no longer wanting premarital sex, no longer wanting all these things. Because I wanted God and the Holy Spirit and not those things. I became a different person. And that Holy Spirit is the same inside of you. I went home after I was saved and my brothers didn't even like me. Huh. Who are you, Mitch? Where's my drinking buddy till 4 a.m? Where's my smoking pot buddy till 4 a.m? He's gone. My brothers didn't like that. Truth? That's true. To this day, they still have a hard time. I love you all if you're listening, but to this day, I know you still have a hard time. That hurts me, but I serve a greater God. I serve a greater God, and I know that the Word says a promise. It says this, if I serve the Lord, then my family will become and serve the Lord. And I stand on the promise that God told me. And I pray for my brothers every day. I pray for my father and mother every day. Why? Because the promise of God says that if I follow the Holy Spirit, that they will become and follow the Holy Spirit as well. True salvation. And I will see them in heaven. That's the realization that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That changes us. Mission, vision, our community, transforming families, a community in the world. How do we do that? We don't do it necessarily by sitting in here. We do it by living the Word. using the gifts that God has given you to share. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. The gifts are inside of you. The gifts that God has given you is inside of you. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? The gifts that God has for you in your life are inside of you. Each one of you, they're inside of you. The sad thing, or maybe the good thing, is that now we have to make a choice. We have to choose. Do I want to know those things, or do I want to continue how I'm doing things? And then we have to live with our choice. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of each and one of you. Whether or not we like that, it doesn't really matter. God loves you. God put it there for you. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. But you have a choice to make. Am I going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and be changed and transformed into a new person that's righteous and holy and that goes out and does the Word of God? Or am I going to sit in my house and sit in my work and just be me, and to everybody else, I'm the same person, but to me, I'm a changed person, and to my church community, I'm the same person. I'm a different person. Or do we go to work and we're the same, cussing, laughing at coarse jokes, gossiping, or do we change? Or do we change? Because the Spirit on the inside will change you to be a different person. Does that hurt? Yes, it does. But the Word cuts like a two-edged sword through marrow in order to create change, in order to create a more righteous and a more holy follower. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to bear witness to the goodness of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's who you have on the inside of you. That's who we have on the inside of us. That's who we have on the inside. And sometimes it's hard to swallow. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that it's trying to change. It's trying to transform you. How many of you ever had Transformers, ever seen Transformers? Not the movie, but the actual action figures. If you have, some of those things were hard to transform. They were. Sometimes you just threw it away because you couldn't do it. And then you got it transformed, but you couldn't figure out how to put it back. I don't really know what that meant, but I know that transforming is a big thing. Transforming is the Holy Spirit taking you from one person to a new person. And that's the same Holy Spirit on the inside of you, transforming you from the old person that wouldn't talk about Christ to a new person who shows Christ. That's the Holy Spirit transformation. That transformation can be everybody inside of you to reach two people, and those two people reach 10 people, and those 10 people reach 1,000 people, and soon enough, we have the whole world. But it takes true transformation and a lifestyle of living the Holy Spirit, a lifestyle of living the fruit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm striving to be perfect. I'm working on it, and we can all work on it because that's how it works. Transformation is not necessarily right away. It's a process that we go through. If we try to transform something into something else, there's a process that it has to go through. It may not happen right away, but we're striving. We're striving. We're striving. We're trying. But a real try, not just I'm trying, a real try, a real striving with goals. I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of this. I need to change this. Holy Spirit, inside of me, help me burn away the old man. Help me burn away the flesh so that I could be Spirit-led. And when we're Spirit-led, we do what James 1:22 says. We are doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read, living as children of the light, living Spirit-led. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, with the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. That means no longer as old people worshiping pagan gods or doing immoral acts, for they are hopelessly confused. 18, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. Some of us know people like that. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Those are Gentiles. Those are pagans. At the beginning of this it says, live no longer like that. Verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let the Spirit that lives on the inside of you renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Verse 20, 5, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Verse 26, and don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for the anger gives a foothold to the devil. And continuing on, for if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, giving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you, living as God intended you to live. Chapter 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his children. Live life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in all the things that people do, for once you were full of darkness, once you were the old Gentile person, but now you have the light of the Lord. So live as people of light, for the light within will produce only what is good and right and true. Amen? For the light within, the spirit within, will only produce what is good, righteous, and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. The end of verse 14 says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ is on the inside of us. Why? How? God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was put on the inside of us, so there is a part of Christ on the inside of us, wanting to be let out, longing to be shown, longing to be seen, longing to bear witness to other people. I thought in putting this and reading through the scriptures that this might be a call to you to awaken, but really it's a call to have a realization. A realization that on the inside of you is the Holy Spirit. On the inside of us is the power of the living God. And that power of the living God is wanting to bear witness through prophecy, through healings, through miracles, through teaching, through encouragement to other people. It wants to bear witness of those things. It wants to bear witness of the things of God to his children. As parents, do we not want to tell our kids what is true? God wants to tell us what is true about us, about the world, about what we can really do, because we have connection to the God, the one true God, and what he can do through us on this earth. It's a realization that we are God's holy people, that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and that we can bear witness by encouragement, teaching, miracles, healings, kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, that we can witness about God, witness about the true things of God, because we have it on the inside. How do we know the will of God for our life? How do we know what we're supposed to say and give knowledge to somebody? We have to be connected, and the connection is the Holy Spirit. We have to be in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. How do we speak to God? What's our holy language? Speaking in unknown tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is evidence of speaking in other unknown languages, languages that are of the angels and of God, and not of men of this world. Spending time speaking with God, hearing from God, is how we are going to know the purpose and will for our lives. It's how we're going to know, you know what, I need to go to Walmart because there's somebody I have to see over there. Sure enough, if we obey, they're there. You know what, I think I need to go to this place right now. Sure enough, somebody needs your help. So you're there to bear witness. If you get connected with the Holy Spirit, if you get connected and stay connected with the one true God, He will show you the purpose and give you direction in your life. And that's what we strive for. So many people who go through depression, who go through other things, they don't fully understand their purpose in life because they're not connected with God. So many people struggle because they're not connected. How do we get people connected? We first have to be connected, and then we can bear witness of how they can get connected. And God will lead them into salvation, will lead them into what their purpose is for their life. But we have to be open and willing, a vessel for God's use first. In order to do. The Holy Spirit. Let's stand and close our eyes. The Holy Spirit is at work today inside of us, flowing inside and out of us between bone and marrow, cutting like a two-edged sword, transforming us into the likeness of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. We are all connected when we believe. We are all part of one body. With one purpose, to bear witness about our one true King. And we all are given different gifts to do that. Be ye doers of the word. This is a time for you to search the insides. Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Verse 2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you by transforming the way that you think. So right now, the Holy Spirit is flowing, speaking to you of how you need to transform your life. Each one of us, in some way, shape, or form, need a transformation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there are thank you, Jesus. The foot of the cross is open to anybody who seeks to be transformed. If you are dealing with an issue in your life that you need transformation away from, the foot of the cross, the altar of the Lord, is open. It just takes you to let it go. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer, if you would like prayer, I ask you to come forward. prayer for encouragement, prayer for healing. I'd like to pray with you. For those of you who are sitting or standing at your seat, the Lord wants me to tell you that He says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and He delights in every detail of their lives. God loves you, and He wants to be a part of your life in every detail. He wants to direct your paths, because He knows the purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Father, I pray for each and every person here today that Your Word speaks truth into their lives, and that Your Holy Spirit seeks and searches through their body to transform them from the old person that they were before they came in the door this morning, and that from now and the day forward, they are a new person, new creation in You. No longer participating in the ways before, but transformed anew, allowing Your Spirit to lead them. In new knowledge, and a new understanding, and a new purpose for their lives. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. So as you go this week, people, remember that on the inside of you is the Spirit of the living God, with the purpose to bear witness about the truth. It's inside of you, bearing witness about Jesus, bearing witness about the kingdom of God. So as you live out your week, your day, at your job, or at home, live the light. Live, show, act. Be ye doers. Be encouraged to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Be encouraged that you have the power of the living God on the inside of you. Be encouraged that He that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Be encouraged that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Be encouraged that you can speak what the Lord is speaking, because He lives inside of you. Be encouraged that no matter what may come, God is bigger. God is greater. God has a purpose for your life, and that is to prosper. And it's for good and not for evil. Be encouraged to share what God has put inside of you. Be encouraged to share and help transform the lives of other people. Be encouraged. That's what the Holy Spirit has for you. Be encouraged to do what God has told you to do. Amen? Be encouraged to be ye doers, to live it out loud, to live it out loud. God is good. And all the time, the Holy Spirit works inside of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. If you are available, come back this evening, 6 p.m., Spirit Fire Worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here at Faith Ministries Church today. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.